On Middleton Island in the Gulf of Alaska, a biologist from the United States Geological Survey is studying a colony of black-legged kittiwakes. Scott Hatch calls kittiwakes the lab rats of the seabird world because they're so common and easy to study. But these birds are anything but boring. APRN's Annie Feight has the second and final story in our series on the kittiwake research on Middleton Island.
One of the biggest questions Scott Hatch is researching on Middleton is why the Alaskan kittiwakes are such poor breeders. Previous studies of North Atlantic kittiwakes showed the birds raised lots of young but had short lives. In Alaska, it's just the opposite. They live twice as long as the North Atlantic birds but don't raise many chicks.
So geographic variation, the same species in what superficially looked like very similar circumstances ecologically, but completely different demographies. So, you know, what's up with that?
15 years ago, Hatch began feeding some of the birds a supplemental diet. He wondered if these well-fed kittiwakes would start to act more like North Atlantic kittiwakes. Would they raise more young? And after that, would their lifespan decrease?
The simple answer is yes. I mean, when we feed birds on the tower, we can get the similar production levels that you had historically in the Atlantic. The survival rates are coming down accordingly.
Hatch doesn't think this is something that only happens with kittiwakes. He thinks the phenomenon could be widespread in the animal world. Biologists just haven't done the studies to find it. It's a radical but simple idea that kittiwakes and maybe other birds and animals have the innate flexibility to respond so dramatically to their food supply.
It's kind of a strategy. It's a game. Do I, you know, put all my eggs into, or maybe a poor, not a pun intended, but do I, you know, put my effort into breeding and therefore not live as long, or do I, you know, kind of sit it out, live a long time, and hope that I'll have, adequate reproduction over the long term?
Yeah, it seems like an amazing adaptation that you would have that choice.
Yeah, well, all species make that choice in a sense, because you compare things like mice, very, prolific, but very short-lived, and elephants, have one offspring every few years, maybe just several over the entire course of their life, but they may live like humans, 70, 80 years or longer. I don't know.
So that you would have that choice within a single species.
Yeah, but within a single species, we have a parallel, kind of a contrast between life history strategies. And that's the interesting thing is within a species where the genetics is pretty much the same, what gives? How does this trade-off come about exactly?
Hatch is trying to figure that out. He thinks it may have something to do with telomeres, which are at the end of chromosomes. They're the intense focus of aging research in human biology right now. Telomeres deteriorate over time, and that seems to affect aging. Hatch says the food supply while the chicks are developing in the nest can influence the rate of telomere loss during that natal period and possibly throughout life.
And so your experience as a, developing individual in the nest, in the case of a bird, can kind of spell the future in terms of your longevity and possibly health and fitness throughout life.
GPS trackers Hatch affixed to the kittiwakes this spring are starting to show a different feeding strategy early in the breeding season. Last year, Hatch noticed the birds were regurgitating capelin early on, instead of the lanternfish they usually eat in their first few weeks after returning to the island. The GPS trackers confirm the change.
I've gotten three of the GPS trackers back, and I'm trying to get a fourth one this morning. And I've already plotted the data, and just as I thought, the birds are foraging east of the island, and they're bringing back the capelin that we're seeing in the regurgitations. And that's primarily what they're doing. This is in complete contrast to years prior to 2010. I believe they were doing the same thing last year. And so this is a major change.
Last year, the kittiwakes on Middleton had their best breeding success since Hatch began studying the birds. So Hatch thinks that early food supply may make all the difference for the kittiwakes' ability to raise their chicks. And he says the shift in feeding patterns may signal a more profound change in the ocean, related to temperature, current direction, and salinity. Hatch calls it a regime change.
If they have, a good reproductive season this year, then again, I'll start to be kind of convinced that something is going on here, and it'll be interesting to see if kittiwakes will give us kind of an early indication of something rather fundamental changing in the system.
The last big regime change in the North Pacific happened in 1977. Hatch says that shift favored some fish like pollock at the expense of species like stellar sea lions and many seabirds. Biologists have been on the lookout for a change back in the decades since, and the Middleton Island kittiwakes may be signaling that it's finally here. In Anchorage, I'm Annie Feit.